Good evening, everyone. You're currently tuned in to KXRW 99.9 Vancouver. This is Maggots in Your Speaker with me, your host, Primitive Dan.
And Trevor Perverser.
And this week, folks, we've got a very special episode coming your way. We have a filthy, dirty alleyway interview that we conducted in a dirty alleyway.
Live on the scene. We did a nice little interview with Paul Ledney from Pro Fanatica, who, if you're familiar, is a very dirty and raw band, and I feel that the location of downtown Portland outside of Dante's was the perfect location to conduct the interview. And the recorder was on a cheetah print pillow, which helped a lot too.
Yes, definitely helped with the sound fidelity. Just as well, this is a raw, unedited live interview, folks, so... Or I guess live to tape interview. Please forgive, there are a couple of moments where we get, there's characters about town that get in on the action as well. So just enjoy that. It's, you know, the things don't always go as planned in an interview like that. So enjoy and...
We'll meet you back after.
Yeah, without further ado, here's the Paul Ledney interview. All right, good evening, everyone. You're listening to Maggots in Your Speaker live here outside of Dante's, or, well, not live, but live to us. This is Primitive Dan.
And this is Trevor Perverser.
And we're here with...
Paul Ledney, Pro Fanatica.
Paul Ledney from Pro Fanatica. So, Paul just finished playing a very unrighteous... Well, it was righteous, but not godly righteous. satanically righteous, yeah. Maybe. And we heard that there might have been a little trouble. Can you talk about that?
Like with what? What kind of trouble?
Oh, I thought you said you guys were in trouble and had to go.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing... No, it's not good.
Oh,
it's nothing
it
juicy. No. Oh.
No, the like, oh man, what's going on?
They're booking some dance party in the club, and we had to get like a hard out by 9:30.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, they're already downstairs, so that's why we couldn't do it after.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, well, right on. Well, so now that we got that all out of the way, so I want to just give a little quick background. So the first time I ever heard Pro Fanatica, mm-hmm. was the Curling Flames of Blasphemy LP. I got that through radio promo, actually, like back when I started doing radio a long time ago. And that sort of like was like got me into that. And then I started listening to that. And I was always kind of surprised that Pro Fanatica. Yep. I've been saying Pro Fanatica most of the time. I guess I'm getting it wrong. I was listening to that like from the back catalog from then. But I was always surprised how like you still sounded so sort of like raw in the years later, like even in 2016, like you'd been around since the 90s, and I'd always sort of like associated with like black metal at that time, like sort of getting more polished as the years go on. Bands like Dimmu Borgir and like Cradle of Filth and all that. So can you talk about how you like keep it raw?
Yeah, so basically, like we decided that when we came back after a long hiatus, that we wanted to keep it raw and made like a point to do that. Now, like moving forward as like new techniques in the studio, everybody's got a home studio nowadays, we kind of still have to police it so it's not too clean.
Uh-huh.
Although I don't know if we're going to talk about the EP, but it's just as raw and heavy as the other one, but it's got a little bit better production so you could hear more of the evil in it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But I saw nothing like, but bands changing their style all these years.
Yeah.
And I am a metalhead first and then in a band second. And of course, punk, we grew up on that. Mm-hmm. We make it a point to like police our sound so it's still raw and ugly.
Sure.
And if something's a little bit too clean, we offset that with like some blasphemies just to make sure.
For sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't want to jump ahead in questioning, but I was going to say, with my first time seeing you guys, I'd heard the name, and I was played a fest in Lexington. It was like a day before you guys. Everybody was like, you got to check out this band. I'd never heard you guys before. And I showed up, and I saw you guys. Like, this does not sound like what I thought it sounded like. And for me, I come from a punk background.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, I thought it was, like, way cooler. I like the introduction of D beats and stuff. I like how, like, raw and just, like, thick it is.
Cool. So, thanks. I'll say that we want our attitude and our intent to come off live.
Sure.
And in the studio. So that's kind of like all attitude, and we can't curse on the show, but it's yeah. kind of like we don't care what anybody thinks. We're kind of doing sure. it for us first.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, since we've been around so long, I don't want to disappoint any of the people that really like our stuff and get what we do.
For
so
sure.
I'm like conscious of that. Like, would a longtime fan be cool with the new stuff? Hell yes. We make it like that.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a lot of compliments that people are like, dude, the play more new stuff. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, it's sick.
I've yeah. never said those words in my life to anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like psyched that.
Yeah, yeah.
So something else, back when, like I said, I first sort of found out about Profanautica in like 2016. And back then, I don't remember Profanautica, at least not on the West Coast here, touring as often. So have you, because I feel like I've seen you two or three times in the last few years. Have you like increased your, like how much you've been touring?
We did. Before 2 years ago was our first U.S. run ever.
Okay.
We had never done like, 10 plus dates in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We just did like one-offs.
Sure.
And, yeah. There's a couple of reasons for that. Like, the timing kind of has to be right, because you'll mm-hmm. think, like, why doesn't this band do something or that band do something? And they have stuff going on in their lives. You know what I mean? People
oh, yeah.
have jobs and families and
sure.
stuff. And the kind of stars had to align. I needed to make it so that it was as good as we needed it to be to bring it on the road.
Sure.
Cool. So, moving in. So, Trevor, you were talking about some punk influences. Do you want to ask? Oh, wait. I guess we already asked about that.
Yeah.
So, but do you have any other questions?
Well, yeah.
That?
I guess I remember I listened to an interview not crazy long ago, and I really appreciate, because I've heard a lot of, like, my parents would say this, like a lot of people I know that are a bit older would say this, but for extreme metal, as I understand it, there was such a punk influence, because I feel, at least for me, when I first started dabbling into metal, I just, like, I kind of hated how fake it was sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
I
felt like these dudes don't walk the walk, and I really appreciated you saying that, like, yeah, Slayer's cool, Metallica's cool, but you're getting into, like, Black Flag and Disrupt and all this, and,
yeah.
like, I really respected that.
Cool,
you know?
Thanks, yeah. man. I actually get a lot of real people that kind of grew up on punk, especially in the U.S., that like appreciate me saying that.
Yeah.
So I'm just being honest, like that's how we grew up.
Yeah.
Like going to metal shows like in the late 80s was cool. We
yeah.
saw Slayer, Exodus, mm-hmm. but back in the day, and like all like the beginning, like thrash and death metal. But when I went to, I forget what the first actual punk show I went to, it could have been this band Adrenaline OD from
yes.
Jersey.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Love that band.
I'm pretty sure it was them. And as soon as I went to that show, I think 2 days later, I went back to that club and I went like 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I, not ditch metal, but that
yeah.
was my scene because of the energy and, like, the vibe of it.
Oh, sure. I'm from New Jersey originally.
Oh, right
yeah,
on.
My dad turned me on to those bands.
Oh,
yeah.
he did?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what about the Lethal Aggression demo?
He showed me that. Sacred Denial.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah, like, that kind of stuff.
I saw those guys, too,
yeah.
way back
There's another band that's the same. Bedlam.
Okay.
It's another band.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I saw all those.
Yeah,
because I was in
bands,
Connecticut,
yeah.
and... all the people come from New York to Massachusetts, like, or Boston, they would stop in Connecticut.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
On their run.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't... It's that punk attitude that's in... Like, there was two, like... what's the word I'm looking for? There was two, like, scenes, like, running at the same time.
Sure.
The punk scene and the metal scene. And in the metal shows back, let's just say 1985, for instance...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the venue, even if it was like a thrash show or a metal show, had at least a DRI button or
sure.
SOD patch.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff was like kind of one and the same. I guess it was separated before that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. In terms of like the blast beat, it's totally from hardcore.
Sure, yeah.
Well, maybe jazz first.
Yeah.
Old drummers used
yeah.
to do that, but like yeah. hardcore for 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
cool. So we also wanted to talk about just sort of like, I feel like Profanautica is like a kind of like a reputation band with like just like kind of crazy sort of I don't know if I'm going to call them antics. Antics might be, I don't know if it's putting it too lightly, but you have kind of crazy or what some people call it even disturbing sort of. I don't know how you would describe it, but things that you do, for example, like in there right now, you're like selling a bottle of your own semen. What is your goal with that?
So this is, it's not to shock people. It's like us naturally.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is like a tongue in cheek humor to it. And, I was like influenced in the mid-80s by G.G. Allin. I liked his earlier stuff, of course, but I liked his attitude even more.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's one of my influences, and I can't really take it out. So, we always did what was natural to us, and without naming names, we weren't really accepted in the New York scene.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, we weren't part of, like, the cool kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, in the long run, like, that's a badge of honor. Like, that's
I good. Guess. Yeah, yeah. I guess. We tried to get shows with everybody back then, and they weren't really gelling with us. I think what happened is that, like, they found out that we weren't kidding, and they were, like, freaked out by it.
Yeah.
So I'm shocked as of today that people are still, like, shocked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm
kind of surprised that people are like, whoa.
Yeah. And then, so another question we had to follow up with, because we were just talking about this, writing these questions out today. Has there ever been a time with, like, any of those kind of more extreme things that you've done where you've felt like, oh, we took it too far this time?
No.
No.
What would you say is,
like, what's the farthest you've taken it?
It's kind of hard to say.
Because, yeah, it's all natural, right?
So it doesn't, what I think is far.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I guess, have you ever had like a really extreme negative reaction to any of it?
Yeah. So, which again is kind of funny.
Yeah, but I'm not.
It is funny, but that's kind of like a happy accident. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of that.
So that's why like we try to kind of keep it real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'll say like the original members that I went to high school with, they were like crazier than me.
Okay.
Yeah, way. And the other, like, we weren't, I don't want to say obnoxious. I just think that, like, the stuff we were into, like, the anti-religious stuff.
Yeah.
They kind of did it, like, because they thought it was, like, kind of cool, but we really hated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the organized religion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess that's my main goal. If I were to have a goal, is to let everybody know to, like, be themselves and don't live in fear, and that organized religion is a business. And it's, like, really a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even on... This is, like, our fifth or sixth show, and already we've seen, like, religious people out in the street, and it's just... To me, it's like a cult right out in the open. They're not even trying to hide
it.
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. So then, something else. So... I've heard a few different people interview you, and you've got this alleged iPod with like a handful of artists on it, and we were just sort of curious. Like, you've mentioned a couple of them in different interviews, but like, what are sort of those bands that you are listening to?
I don't have a hookup for it now in my car currently, but I still have it in my top drawer. On there, I have like secret stuff that nobody's heard. I got a couple of Profanautica tracks that I never did vocals for. This band Pro Sanctus and Fair Eye, if you know them, Jake's band. I have like a couple of rehearsals and stuff that people sent me. And God, the Necrovore demo, Hellhammer, the whole Poison Idea catalog.
Oh yeah.
And
that's a Portland band right there.
Yeah, I know that. And then actually I have some old metal on there, some new wave of British heavy metal stuff, like Satan, Exciter, and I'll put that. But to be honest, I usually, if I'm in the car with other people, I don't like listening to music. I'll just talk.
Sure. I think we're also both kind of that way.
I like the conversation more sometimes.
Yeah, but in... all right, so I have, like, all the Black Witchery stuff.
Sure.
All the classic, U.S. black metal.
Right on. All right, let's see. Where are we at here next? So, oh, yeah, so we had, this is kind of an interesting one we were talking about earlier, too. So are you still going out to, like, local gigs back in, I mean, are you still living in Connecticut?
I'm in Connecticut.
Yeah.
If somebody's, see, it's kind of tough, because, yeah, I guess, I went to a couple of punk gigs.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid to go out. Like, yeah. I like supporting the young bands, but, I'd really have to, you have to go to, it's like an hour and a half to Brooklyn to see somebody good. And I will go down there if some, actually I did, we went to see, Morpheus Descends and, the guys in Malignancy. We watched them play. That was like an hour from my house. So we drove there. Dizma played too. Yeah. So we got to stay out of Craig and some other Jersey stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Right on. Well, that's awesome that you're still going to like local punk shows
yeah,
and all that.
For
do
real.
Do you feel like the kids are all right?
The kids are cool.
Yeah, right
it's
on.
Better, I think, also like an all-ages show.
Yeah, yeah.
Way better. Totally. And I like the old-school people, too, to say hi, but like they kind of look like they're bored.
Yeah.
And it depends on if how much they party.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Another thing. We don't party, and like we try to, like we're concentrating as hard as we can, and we hope that shows.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, so, Trevor, I think you had this next question here.
Which one?
This one right here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I asked Nate about this already, but, like, you're a hot dog aficionado.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Did you go to Rutt's Hut at all in Jersey?
No.
Oh, man, you got to go.
But I heard about it from the guys in Tombs. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know those guys?
New York band?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know them personally, but...
Okay.
Yeah. That is definitely a spot to go to.
I saw it on TV.
Yeah.
They did something on the Food Channel with that.
Yeah. Dude, it look. I mean, it's one of those places like kind of sketchy still. Like they haven't
that's
changed.
That's probably good.
Yeah, that's what makes it good.
I did ask. I was like, "Is it like good? Is like the hype?" And they were like, "Yeah, it's pretty much what you think. Hope it's gonna be."
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Definitely, it's good.
Right on. So, in your set, you often, I think, every time, well, both or whatever times I've seen you, and then in interviews, you've also like talked about. The sort of like Norwegian scene or being against the Norwegian scene and all that. Back when all this was sort of getting started, like how aware were like the US, South American and European scenes, like how aware they were each other at that time?
They were aware.
Yeah.
So without internet, it was more zines.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming out with pictures and describing the bands. And if you were interested and be like, I kind of like this look they have or this feel... Yeah. Then you would just like write a letter off and trade demos. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little bit slower, but everybody was aware.
Yeah. Right.
And I'll say that the Norwegian scene came a good like year and a half later out of like the South America and the US scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a year and a half is a long time in music, considering
yeah,
you could get somebody's disc. Or 12-inch, and, like, pretty much memorize the whole thing in, like, 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year and a half later, they kind of commandeered the term black metal.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it turned into something else, and I get that most of the people in my life, they like both styles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then, so, like, I think I've heard you say before, like, you've used the term that the Norwegian stuff isn't, like, punchy enough.
Not at
for
all.
Your taste. So, like, how do you feel about, like, the stuff that they were doing like way earlier, like the Death Crush EP and stuff
for me always thought that was garbage.
Okay,
but
yeah.
But like we laughed at that. I was
sure.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
So two things you have to have like to play with us, you have to come from like a death metal background skill wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying nobody, because there's good death metal and black death metal over there. But there's a certain kind of the way you hit the strings with the pick.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say slow? There's a certain
there's
a certain type of that that's lacking in attitude over
there
because a different culture.
Yeah.
And a different mindset.
Yeah.
So the South American bands, they didn't have money for like all this top-notch equipment and some, not all, but a lot of the European countries had top-notch gear.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sweden, those kids didn't have to save up for like 2 years just to get another piece to their drum kit.
Yeah.
They just had it.
So with those like South American bands, like what, like, cause I feel like nowadays it's just so easy where I can like just go online and like listen to bands like Reencarnacion and,
you
know, all those kinds of bands. at that time, like, what was kind of like in your sort of circle of listening from those bands?
The Sarcophagus Satanic Lost demo.
Okay, yeah.
That was, like, nice. A big one. And then when we wrote to them, and then when they did their album. So pretty much, if you want to, like, the Profanatica is pretty much a blend of the Blasphemies from Sarcophago. Because not so much the sound, because we don't really sound like them, but Possess, Seven Churches, the Necrovore demo, and that NME Unholy Death album.
Yeah, sure.
Those guys are from Seattle.
Yeah.
I know. They had some unfortunate stuff happen to them.
Yeah, that's a story for another day, for sure. That's a good one.
That album influenced me, the noise of it, and... Yeah. Just like how dirty it was.
Yeah, the bass sounds like the strings are like falling
off.
It's
awesome.
Yeah.
That bass, love it.
Cool. So then, this is one we were also curious about. So, how did you feel about the sort of what would be so called more traditional sounding American black metal bands like? And they came out a little after you guys, but bands like I Shall Become and Wind of the Black Mountains. Were you in on that?
I wasn't in on that, so I'm not familiar.
Okay, cool. No worries.
But, so here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You do what you like, and as a result of that, you're just going to get good at it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Well, I'm open to new bands.
Yeah.
100%. If they have the right idea. People are giving me demos like nonstop at every stop, and I'm like, is this real style black metal?
Yeah.
Or phony style? Yeah, and they're like, it's real style. I'm like, all right, who do you like? And they're like, they name all the proper bands. I'm like, all
right. Yeah.
Right on. Cool. And then, Trevor, I think you had this next one here.
What was this? What was a... I can't even see.
Sorry, I know. I write cursive. No one can read it.
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about people, like, in the know. Like, you're talking about, like, okay, you like this stuff. That's going to be good. Back in the day, what was a good indication if someone said, this is the style of bands? Like, are these bands that you're like, this dude's legit?
Okay. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So back in the day, reading zines, if somebody was like, they had these like pen pals, and they like to get people to write to you, you'd fill out like a little bio, and if it said like Sodom, Hellhammer, Venom, Bathory, Possessed, then they were cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But in the 90s, so in the early 90s, the zines, like I talked about before, right? They had, it was kind of tough because these zines had all the black metal back then was like black death metal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So.
You got a hug on your shirt. Can I have a hug?
I'm in the middle of an interview.
Oh,
right
we can't
now.
Right now.
Oh,
sorry,
man.
Yeah.
Man.
Sorry, man.
Golly, I want a hug.
So, there was, what was I going to say? All right, so.
Like in the 90s, you were saying, changed a little bit.
The 90s changed, and all right, so here's what I was going to say. Back in the 90s, the black metal, like the death metal, was black metal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the evil stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, if you listen to the Mardu demo, that's black death metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, I want to say, if I'm going to be honest, that the only band that was doing that Bathory style, well, was like Immortal back then.
Mm-hmm.
They were the and Sam A.L. They kind of bridged the gap between like the first wave and the second wave. Mm-hmm. So did Blasphemy, like 88, 89, Sarcophago, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you saying that I think I read in an interview a long time ago that you actually enjoy Immortal. Is that true?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe that wasn't true. Maybe I didn't read that. Maybe someone else.
Maybe
said it.
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
All good. Cut that.
Fake news.
Yeah. Cool. So, okay, so you have been labeled as a poser-disposer. Do you accept that title?
They don't really bother me, the posers.
Okay, yeah.
So here's what I'll say about that. It's, if you're a metalhead, I don't know, like, how many, you have, like, people listen to your station, obviously, right, that love stuff. If you're a metalhead, you can't help what year you were born.
Because
I see a lot of guys, I'm like, that guy would like our stuff. But he's hanging out with the wrong group of metalheads.
Yeah.
They introduced him to, like, the wrong style.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and it doesn't mean the right style is everything I like.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, even if you're, like, a new kid getting into it, and you're a metalhead, like, your duty is to go backwards from to the beginning to the first Black Sabbath and then research. You don't have to buy everything, but you have to look into it, give it a listen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In each genre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like where also we sort of wanted to try and like wrap it up here is we're talking about the young people, which I think is great, because obviously the young people getting into this are going to like, you know, continue
keep it alive.
Keep it alive for and sure. keep it going. And so for you, what exactly is the certain je ne sais quoi that makes a band cool, and what is something where you're just like immediately turned off by it?
I'm immediately turned off by like only atmosphere, and the music doesn't stand by itself.
Sure. Okay. Cool.
And I'll go as on. I'll say that we could play our stuff in like in a rehearsal room for a bunch of people. Like we don't. Yeah, we have like a sampler pedal, which you heard, and some other stuff, but we don't need it. Like we could play just as hard right out here on the pavement. Mm-hmm. And the newer bands can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's all laptop metal.
Yeah, and I was here. Yeah, I liked that term. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It's phony baloney, and they rely on it.
Maybe. Yeah. It's old school here, man.
Beat that out. All right.
So, and then on the other hand of it, like, what's something when you hear it, you're like, this is like what needs to be happening?
I can't put that into words. Yeah. I could just hear it and know that they're like, the band is like going for it, their attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I don't know. Yeah. Like, all three of my sons like metal, but the oldest one, he just likes stuff that's like badass and he appreciates everything. And so do I, but I'm like, that's kind of fake. And he goes, but how do you know? And I'm like, I can't describe that. I just know.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I don't like also like, so we play our style in front of everybody, even if they don't like it. Like, that's kind of where we come from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The newer bands are like, it seems like they're doing it to impress other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time and words and all your thoughts and all that. That's about all the questions we have.
All right, those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Hey, thanks.
Those are good because they're a little bit different.
Yeah.
That was what we were like. We were like nerd, like noided out. We were like, oh man, like we can't. What are your influences?
Yeah, yeah. Like, we don't want to do. It's so boring, man.
I know.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to do it because like different. Everybody's got a different audience.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And out here. So, but all right. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, of course. Thank you. Yeah. Cool. Have a good rest of the tour and all that. So.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And we're back here in the KXRW studios. This is Maggots in Your Speaker with Primitive Dan.
And Trevor Perverser.
And you just finished listening to our interview on the street with Paul Ledney of Profanatica after their show in Portland a few weeks ago.
A bit ago, yeah.
We should have written the date down, huh? You can look it up. July 2025, yeah. Portland date. Before we continue, we are going to have to listen to a few words from some KXRW partners.
Programming like this is made possible by support from High Five Cannabis, your local cannabis connection in Vancouver and Stevenson, Washington. High Five offers flower, concentrates, edibles, tinctures, topicals, and more. Whether you're new to cannabis or know what you need, their staff is available to assist. If you go to highfivecannabis.com, spelled H-I-G-H, the number 5, cannabis.com, you can learn about their specials like Munchy Monday, Senior Tuesdays, Waxy Wednesdays, and Loyalty Thursdays. Again, that's highfivecannabis.com. Oh, you know it. Big thank you to Georgie's Garage and Grill for supporting KXRW programming. They offer a full bar and signature meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that is not the usual bar food. Their food will keep you coming back for more. Dine in or take out. They also offer a venue space for live music and community events. Georgie's Garage and Grill is located downtown Vancouver at 606 Broadway Street. More information can be found at georgiesgarageandgrill.com.
Discover our city's hidden gem, hiding right below the sidewalk. Underbar is a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located downtown Vancouver. As an LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it is a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Underbar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information and location can be found at underbarvancouver.com. That's underbarvancouver.com.
And we're back here in the KXRW studios. We just heard some words from our sponsors, or not sponsors, partners. Thank you. And for the rest of the show today, we figured it would be a cool idea to take a listen to some of the bands that were mentioned by Paul Ledney in our interview for the rest of the show.
There's a lot of diversity in this playlist, and there are combinations of bands that I don't think have ever been combined before. But, you know, on this show, it's all about the deep cuts and cool things, and lucky for us, Paul has very cool music taste. So we're going to start off with something more old school. It's going to be Broken Bones' Iron Maiden.
Oh, breath. I will tell you to trust me. Everybody else shrunk, run away in the blood. The rats fire bench of a victim. Can't wait to see social confidence in the air with the power and standing true. Ask me a god who I believe was left within a company. And what goes on with ice cream? Why are you talking? What the hell? I know nobody else wrong. You don't break the blood. You're very red for me. And while fingers that will can't think on his clip. Try to get to the end with it. Power is dominant. I'm a dumb and trouble man, God's been lying. Trying to carry through the usage of the army. Everybody else wrong, you don't swear. Don't belong in there, red, you got a bit of oil. There is no Cassie, that's a queen. Trust the girl, trying to see in the empire.
Once again, we are finally back in the KXRW studios. You're listening to Maggots in Your Speaker with me, your host, Primitive Dan.
And Trevor Perverser.
And we've been listening to kind of a crazy mixed playlist here for the last half an hour or so. All bands that were mentioned in our interview with Paul Ledney that we played during the first half of the show. Paul Ledney of Profanautica, if you're out of the loop. So, that last song you heard there was Corpse Under Glass by Morpheus Descends. Preceding that, we had God of the Dead by Necrovore. Before that, we had Pontifical Undulations of Blasphemic Gesticulation by Prosanctus Inferi. Before that, we had Don't Talk to Me by Gigi Allen. Preceding that, we had United Forces by none other than SOD. Preceding that, we had Violent Pacification by DRI. Before that, we had Better Way to Die by Sacred Denial. Preceding that, we had Backstab Gospel by Portland's own Poison Idea. Before that, we had Into Damnation Eternal by Black Witchery. And starting off that set was Iron Maiden by Broken Bones.
Well, I hope you learned something today. Listen to something you probably have never heard before. I know there's a few bands in there that I'm very happy we got to play that I don't think we've played otherwise. Specifically, Sacred Denial and playing a Gigi Allen song that I think some people will be upset we chose that one versus a different one.
It's, you know, I mean, hey, it's better than a lot of Gigi Allen.
Yeah, so. It's the best stuff for sure.
I'm not complaining at all myself. Yeah. So, but that was pretty fun. Yeah, it took a little while to dig some of those up as well. So hopefully you all enjoyed out there. And yeah, hopefully you enjoyed the interview. Maybe we'll do more if people liked that. So
let us know.
We'll see ya next month, folks. And of course, playing us out this evening will have to be none other than the band itself, Profanautica, their song Scourging and Crowning.
For 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all over Clark County or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
On Point Removal Services offers residential, office, and construction junk removal throughout Clark County and beyond. For more info, please call 360-728-0093 or go online to onpoint-removal.com.